The men of God, Paul, Silvanus. I could have my Bible, couldn't I? That'd be a good idea. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Is there anybody in here named Tim? Tim, got the name Tim? I know Brother Tim, Sister Sarah's husband. Y'all know who I'm talking about? He's a military gentleman. His name's Tim, and his name may be Timothy. And we went to school with Tim Milligan. But I've never crossed paths with anybody named Timotheus. And if my mama had named me Timotheus, I'd have had a one-word question for her. Thank you. That's right. That's right. Why? Why'd you name me Timotheus? But there's reasoning for this, and we're going to look at it, okay? This is examples. In the model church, there's got to be things that stands out. So this model church part we're looking at right here, we're looking at the examples that are here in front of these people. You ought to write them down. You ought to write them down. I know you're smart, but you ain't that smart. You ain't remembering all that. You ain't bluffing me. I've been through school too. All right? So when we look at these names, we're going to look at the name Paul. Anybody know what the name Paul means? It means little. It means little. No doubt he was probably of small stature. But he was a spiritual giant. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you? These names kind of identify some characteristics about these people. Okay? Paul was a little man, but Paul was a big man spiritually. You know what I found out? I found out I have seen people that was real. Y'all have too. I've seen people that was real big, Brother Larry, and they were scared of the shadow. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They were just big giants, and it's. I've seen little people that I'm telling you, boy, you didn't want to mess with them, huh? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's something about. So that lets you know right there, it's not the size that makes the man. You know what it is? It's that heart. It's that heart. So Paul, his name means little. It's physically, maybe he was a smaller man in stature toward people, but we know he was a spiritual giant because of how God used him so much. Hey, he would not quit. Amen. You know what I'm going to do? Make you a spiritual giant in this world? Get you some I can't quits or I ain't going to quit. I ain't going to quit. Can I listen? There's not a day passes by. I know that everybody in here is not baseball fans, and listen, when it comes to baseball, I might watch a game or two at the World Series. I don't watch it through the year, but I like the competitiveness, and I know them guys are good. But I know this, I know that them folks, they can throw a baseball, not just at a high rate of speed, but with accuracy. Huh? Is anybody in here wants to stand up beside one of them plates when 100 mile an hour baseball's coming by you? I was thinking about this the other day. I seen just a clip of a ball game. I remember when we was all small and we played little league and stuff like that. I mean, I don't even remember. Did we even have a hard hat, a hard cap? I don't remember if we had a hard cap to wear back then. I don't think we did. You know, if you got busted in the brains, you just got busted in the brain. You know. Next, bring another batter out here. This one's a dud. All right. I mean, he's dead. And but now, I mean, them men are throwing at such high rate of speed. These guys are wearing protective helmets that literally wrap around the side of their head. You look at it real close, that thing comes all the way around on it. You know why? They know somebody could be terribly, badly injured. Well, isn't that why Paul told, I mean, this little man, spiritual giant, he told us to put on the whole armor of God? Right. Yeah. See, you know, hey, we come here and talk about Fox News all day long, but if we'll stay with the Bible, we're going to learn something. Amen. We're going to have revival. We're going to have to learn something this morning. I told Brother Leroy, I said, he called me last night. He says, I said, I've been going to call you for 3 days. I said, I wish you'd have been here Wednesday night. Amen. I said, man, I said, you'd just rejoice. You'd enjoyed it. He said, ah, tell me about it, Doc. Tell me about it. And he's so excited. He's in South Carolina right now preaching revival. He said, I'm just thinking about coming on in early. I'm serious. I'm thinking, dear God, man, I said, that hotel, I'm thinking to myself, that hotel you're staying in is almost $100 a night. We can't afford you. But, you know, what you going to say to him? Yeah. No, stay away. You tell him. I ain't telling that, okay? Amen. I like being around the men of God, don't you? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Paul means little. Silvanus or Silas. It means of the forest. And that speaks of an abundance or fertility, generosity, fruit bearing, and stability. Stability. You know what? I had a preacher tell me one time, Brother Mike, he took a church over in a neighboring area. And he took this church and he was there 1 month. And a fight broke out in the church. And I don't mean a physical fight. Arguments, you know how church squabbles go. Hopefully you ain't never been a part of one, but y'all know what I'm talking about. And this church had this issue, squabble, and he'd been there 1 month, and he told me, he says, I think the Lord wants me to leave. I said, son, you ain't even took your shoes off yet. I said, they don't even know if you're going to feed them. They don't even know if you're loving them. When I took this church, Brother Bob, when I took this church, I sought counsel. I had sat up under a preacher from the time this church started, from 75 to 97. But I wanted more counsel. That won't hurt you. Not if it's wise counsel. And I sought counsel and I said, what do you think I should do? He said, for the first year. See, he was anticipating me being there at least 1 year. He said, for the first year, he said, you preach on the 23rd Psalm. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I can exhaust the 23rd Psalm in 1 month. But can I tell you, I've been preaching since 1987, and I've still not exhausted the 23rd Psalm. It's loaded. But that wasn't the point. You know what the point was, Brother Joseph? He was telling me, you need to let them people know that you'll be their shepherd. And you'll feed them. And you know what God has done? God has allowed us as a church to have a bond, sheep with shepherd. You sheep know that I love you. And I know as the shepherd that you love me. Amen. Isn't that wonderful how God works all that out? I'm telling you, Silas had some stuff that was fruit producing. Now, you can't produce apples. I love apples. I love sweet. I don't care for Granny Smith bitter cooking apples. They're good for cooking. They're great for apple pies. But you got to add some sugar to them. Moderately. Amen, Brother Larry. Moderately. Add some sugar to them and they'll be just right. But I like an apple. I went to who has ever been up in North Georgia where is it around Blue Ridge, Georgia? But then y'all ever been up there where they have the apple? There's an apple barn, I believe is what it's called. Up there. Is anybody, you ever been up that way? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, man. We went in there one time. We was on vacation. We come back by there. They've got booths set up in that area that you can go from one to another just sampling. Yeah. Anybody remember when they opened Publix down here? You know, I used to take my family out to eat at Publix, and we'd go from one booth to another and sample stuff. I'd say, eat, youngins. Y'all gonna get them, won't get nothing at home, okay? And you can go from one apple booth to another and taste the sweetest apples you've ever seen in your life. I love a sweet apple. But do you think it's possible for that apple tree to produce a lime? That lime's just way too bitter. Now, what in the world would make God's people on one day be so sweet? And the next day, so bitter? I've got a few ideas. Y'all probably ain't interested, are you? Oh, you are? Okay. All right, here we go. When you're sweet, when you're a Honey Crisp apple, huh? When you're a Gala apple, very sweet. There's another one called something pink. Something. What's the name? Anybody know? Something pink. Anyway, very sweet apple. When you're one of them apples, everything's going your way. But when you become a lime, somebody got in your pocketbook. And when they got in your pocketbook, they was drawing the sweetness out of you. Ain't it amazing? No wonder the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. No wonder. Wow. Wow. Because that money will change your personality. That money will change your attitude. That money will make you change churches. Well, poor old Silas, didn't he just do a whole lot? Hey, the man of God must show some of these qualities. Generosity, fruit bearing, and stability. That fellow said that God told him to leave after being there 1 month. I call his name, some of you know it. I said, if the Lord has told you to leave after 1 month, he never told you to go there. Timotheus, Paul means little. Silas means of the forest. Timothy means God-fearing. God-fearing. Psalms 111, verse 10, the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to have the right attitude for God? You got to have an attitude of reverence. Reverence. Last night was having a prayer meeting, and I'm telling you, for years and years and years, and I still don't promote this, Brother Gary, for years, it would bother me so bad if somebody called me, and people just do it because it sounds spiritual. Reverend Dixon. And I used to, Brother Danny, that thing, I'd hear it, and I said, please, no. The Bible says, I believe it says, holy and reverend is his name. Okay. But when people don't know any different, and to show you how immature we can be, we'll hear somebody say something like that, and we're like, oh, I can't stand to hear that. Well, that's all they know. That's all they know. It's also not right to take a knife and cut yourself when you call yourself just sharpening it. But nobody says nothing about that. They just say, well, boy, wasn't you dumb? You're careless. Nobody says nothing about that. Nobody says nothing when somebody hits their finger with a hammer. Say, how'd you do it? It was an accident. Oh, okay. But you see, here's what it is, Brother Leo. Somebody's doing something that we don't do. And because they're doing something that we don't do, there we go again. We want to condemn them.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. We want to condemn them. Instead of giving them time to grow as a Christian and learn, wow, nobody else said that. Old Brother Leroy said one time, this boy come to church one time, and he walked in there and he had a shirt on and said Budweiser. Now, I know nobody in here would want to say nothing to him and run him off because he's at church. And he just didn't know no better. Probably drank Budweiser for breakfast. Stanley did. And somebody asked Brother Leroy, somebody would say something that boy about that shirt? He goes, nah. Yeah. He said he'll look around and see nobody else wearing one.
Amen.
What happens is we think we've become so holy in our knowledge. We condemn everybody that ain't like us. Do you really want everybody to be like you? I don't. I'm scared of heights. I want somebody that ain't scared of heights. Come blow my shed off. Amen. I'm just throwing a little hint out there. Some of you young fellas that ain't scared of heights. Amen. Amen, Brother Sam. I know you ain't scared of heights. Amen. Wow. Amen. I'm talking about some men and what their names mean. An attitude of reverence for God. That's what Timothy was. All right, let's look. We're going to look at a threefold situation right here that suggests some conviction of a model pastor. This book has got three men that is very, very involved in this church, in this town right here. All right? I want you to notice that this church, this doctrine, this teaching was put out right here. Now, don't go into a panic right here, and don't come up to me after church and ask me if I'm a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist.
Amen.
I believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't think Jesus Christ, I don't think God the Father ever created one man to burn in hell.
Amen.
Okay? But this teaching, this preaching was only right here to this church. All the other churches, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, they all had different issues. And Paul addressed each one of them different.
Amen.
But to this church, he brought to them this doctrine of the second coming. All right? So we see that the Bible says this in Acts chapter 15, verse 14. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take them out of a people for his name. All right? Before the Gentiles was ever addressed, God dealt with who?
Jews.
The Jews. That was his people. The Bible says they were the apple of his eye. Okay? And listen. Many times we get to thinking and we're looking in our mind, we're thinking, yeah, but that's all the Old Testament was just Jews. No, the Old Testament was not only Jews. Listen, this seed, this promised seed was not promised until Abraham was promised a seed and his seed was declared to be as of the sand of the seas. Okay? So Isaac's this promised one.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So before Isaac was what? Gentiles. They wasn't Jews. They were not Jews. So all of these folk before then and all through this time, these genealogies is passing down this timeline. These people, if they wasn't of the seed of Isaac, Goliath wasn't a Jew. The Philistines wasn't Jews. You can go through a whole list of people in their genealogies of the Old Testament that were of people that were not of Jewish descent. Okay? So this gospel now has come, is being directed now, according to Acts chapter 14, just read. He's trying to take a, he's wanting to take a people out of a people that was not a people.
Hallelujah.
That's us. That's us. You know what happened? For years and years and years and years, here's what happened. These Jews, the Bible says this. I'm on. You know, you just got to read the Bible.
Amen.
Sometimes I'm very cautious about saying some things, Brother Gary, because there's kids involved, kids around. But listen, these kids in this church, they watch more TV. They know more stuff than what I think they do. Help me right there, Mom and Dad. Your kids hear cussing on TV and things on TV that they ought not be hearing, but if they watch TV, if they go to school, the Bible says this about the nation of Israel, and this is what severed the relationship between them. All right? I'm going to need some help right here now. The Bible says they went a-whoring after other gods. Is that right? All right. Now, and if you read your Bible in the Old Testament, the Bible says that God divorced them. Now this will help you a little bit if you never got this, and you might be one of these that's real critical about people that's been through storms in life. There's a day coming that God is going to remarry them. Well, if you'd read your Bible, you'd understood that. What you think this opening of the tribulation is going to be? This is for the Jews to be driven back to God by persecution. By persecution. Okay, if God's going to... Brother Mike, you understand this a little bit, don't you? If God's going to use the tribulation to drive the Jews back to Him by persecution, which is what it is, by persecution, somebody please tell me, why would the church be there? It's not. It is not there. Brother Joseph said, no, not there. Amen, Brother Joseph. Okay. So we see that God specifically laid something out right here for this church. And by the way, the Apostle Paul that wrote 13 books in the New Testament, possibly 14, the first book that he wrote, it's not in the chronological order, in the order of the Bible. The first book the Apostle Paul wrote is the book of Romans. In the chronological order of the Scripture written, but the first book that the Apostle Paul wrote was the book of Thessalonians. The first letter, the book of 1 Thessalonians, and the first thing that he addresses in him writing this book is the rapture of the church. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Thank God in the beginning he says, let's just go ahead and nail this thing down and let y'all know Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. You know what's happened? We've watched so much Fox News and CNN and CBC and CAC and whatever, CAT and DOG. That we've watched so much of this junk that we're the most depressed people in the world. Hey, here's a test. Here's a test. Don't raise your hand. Didn't we have a good time the other night? Wasn't church good Wednesday night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. I watched this little old gal laugh. I enjoyed myself watching you laugh. I'm telling you, she enjoyed church the other night. And she helped me.
Amen.
Mary Hart doeth good like medicine.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, here's a test. Don't raise your hand. But if you are a news watcher, continually a news watcher, All the time. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Fox News, CNN. There's another one besides CNN. What is it? ABC. I knew somebody else was watching it. That's a trick. I'm sorry, Sister Deb. ABC, you're right. NBC, ABC, WJTX, or whatever all that is. Here's what happened. You watch them news channels long enough, you'll start dimming the lights. My father-in-law watched that stuff all the time. And before he died, he'd sit in the living room, pull the blinds. Am I telling it right? And sit there and watch the news in a dark room. You know why? Because worldly news is depressing.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Has anybody ever got any joy?
No.
At a Kim C. Young or whatever his name is. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? I don't know how to pronounce his name. All I know, he's in somewhere, Singapore. All right, let's look right here. We're looking. We see then verse number 3, chapter 1, verse number 3. Remember, without ceasing your work of faith, the labor of love and patience of hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Remember in verse 3, without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Right down there, the latter part of this chapter, there's two words. And I believe if I'm not mistaken in my counting, I'm going to read it again. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. 14 times right there, over and over and over. Brother Gary, you know why? Because we're in Him. We're in Christ. We're in the church. We're in the bride. I'm in the family. Amen. Brother Darnell started to leave last night. Him and Sister Samantha, acknowledged they was walking out the door. And Brother Darnell says, good night. See y'all tomorrow. I said, good night, family. Family. You're my family. If you're saved this morning, you're my family. You're my family. Here's how we look at each other. You're my family.
Amen.
You say, what if you see somebody go to church, but if you don't like them? Well, are you family? If you don't like them, that means you probably got something you need to get over.
Amen.
Unless there and again, you're wanting your family to be like you. Yeah, amen. Amen. In the family. We see this exhortation. He says right here, let me see. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking from a place right here. Where am I at? Right there, verse number 2. Grace be unto you. Verse number 1, I'm sorry. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace are both ends of the scale right here. Grace and peace. What do we need? We need grace. We need peace. I need the Lord.
Amen.
You need the Lord. We need this. So we see in this first portion, we see the method of a model church. We see the method of a model church. We see the men of God that's used in the model church. But now we're going to look at this here. It's just a few minutes till. We probably should just stop right here before we move on. Next week, we'll look at the method that God chose to proclaim the gospel. This is God's way. This is God's way. And I'm telling you, churches are in trouble. They are in trouble. Because they're trying to proclaim the gospel another way. And I can prove it. I can prove it. How many of you is in here? We'll stop right here at this point. At this point. I meet people all the time from other churches. I'm not kicking them. That's what they want. That you can't change it. They're going to go to church there. But I'm going to show you something right here. The Lord give me this little nugget, Brother Daniel, for me. We're living in an hour when a lot of churches are canceling church. It used to be a no-brainer. Everybody going to have church 3 times a week. You can be there on Sunday morning. You can be there on Sunday night. Some people have church 4 times a week. We have church 4 times a week. Can I say this? Let me say this about Saturday night prayer meeting. You miss Saturday night prayer meeting, you miss the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. We had a good crowd in here last night, about 17, 18 people, and just people bragging on the Lord, just testifying. And I understand if you live a long ways, that's hard. But you live close. You live real close. Don't tell me about going through storms, and don't tell me about you wanting God to do something real special in your family, and if you can't even show up prayer meeting.
Amen.
That's time to pray, right? But here's something that I've noticed. I've noticed a lot of churches that have quit having church on whatever night. They have cottage prayer meeting. And this is the verse that they give me. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst of them. Okay? But there's something missing in this cottage prayer meeting. Anybody know what it is? They're having church as usual. They'll sing a little song. Maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know. Maybe have some testimonies. And then somebody will open the book and they'll do a lesson. Does anybody know what's missing? What? No shepherds. You know what's doing? It is demeaning the importance of a shepherd over the sheep. Now, listen. I'm not a shepherd that says, I need to be standing over top of you, and if you decide you want to draw a breath in, I'll let you. You know I ain't like that. I ain't never been like that. I've heard people preach that if you're going to buy a new car, you ought to go talk to your preacher about it. I'm like this. You want to go buy a new car, and you ain't got no sense to buy a new car, you better stay off car lot. Don't come to me and talk to me about buying a new car. Now, I have seen people buy a new car, or buy cars, different cars. I've seen this when they shouldn't have. They couldn't afford it. And when they showed it to me, I said, you can't afford that. I did. You know what I told them? I said, take it back and get your other car back. You said, you ought not tell people about that. They did it and they didn't have no problems with it. The only ones that had a problem with it was the ones of you right then that I said that. And you went, oh. But I loved them sheep, and I seen they was making a mistake. Financial mistake. You know what financial burdens does in a Christian home? It ends up in a worldly divorce. Amen. You can't get around it. It's a financial burden. It's going to be a fight over money. And the devil's going to jump right in the middle of it. Okay? They have a gathering. They have the songs. They have a book. But they don't have a shepherd. And it's letting this world see or think they see we can get by without that preacher. Maybe they can. I couldn't. Because somewhere down the road, they're going to need that preacher to bury him. Or marry him. Or comfort him. Or pray with him. And we can go on and on and on. But you see how the devil works? He's subtle, ain't he? He's subtle. Don't be deceived by him. Amen? Wow. I enjoyed the morning. I enjoyed the morning. Father, I pray that you bless this time. Help us to retain what we've heard. God, use us for your glory. And I pray that you'd meet with us in the preaching hour. And I pray somebody will get saved and somebody will come in, God, just to hear from heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.